Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The Raptors are back home and in action tonight. We'll get to that later in the hour. Al's Brothers Filter After Dark later in the hour. Our buddy Craig Button coming up here in a moment. You guys see Zuckerberg is up to some shady business here. He's talking about changing the name of Facebook. Like, they're going to change Facebook, and it's no longer going to be known as Facebook, which something shady's going on here.
Right.
Because, how do you change that name? It's been that way for 17 years. It's one of the most lucrative businesses in the history of business.
Yeah.
Like, what is Zuckerberg doing? Imagine Google was just
workaround.
Like, we're not Google anymore.
It's a workaround.
Something's
something.
Going on.
What's a workaround?
Meaning, like, they are either in for one as far as something crazy coming. You see all of this manipulated information, and Facebook is tied to all of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly have a Facebook account. I haven't been on it in forever. Like, I can't remember the last time. Because it's a site for lunatics. People, like, literally go on there and post, like, the craziest things you've ever seen. And people believe it. Oh, it's got to be. It's true.
Yeah,
it's on
misinformation
Facebook.
And all that kind of stuff for sure. It's definitely associated with it, but it's still.
Does Hazy B dabble in Facebook?
No, I don't. I mean, I just have no use for it because, like, when it originally came out, it was literally about posting pictures, and that was it. Now it's not. Like, now it is about, you know, videos and people posting opinions and, you know, finding news on there.
It's a dangerous game, man.
It's a dangerous game.
It really is. But Facebook owns all of this other stuff, right? Don't they own Instagram? They own
absolutely
TikTok or whatever.
Zuckerberg's one of the 10 richest men in the world, and Facebook is one of the most lucrative companies in the world, like the big four of Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook. Like, they're in that crew. Walmart would be a part of it. You know, there's 4, 5, 6 massive corporations that are just worth so much and they own so much. But it got me to thinking, like, just changing a name that is associated with the product. Like, what if we just showed up and we're like, Overdrive is going to be renamed in a couple of weeks.
What
you know,
we're
not going to be named this anymore because something's coming. There's a workaround.
Three
buffoons on the show. You know.
What would our go-to name be if we canceled Overdrive?
It's a great question. Like,
the
what
Three
would...
Stooges.
Three Amigos? No. I like Three Amigos.
I don't know if
you
that's
brought it up
fly.
Earlier, the
no,
Dusty
that's
Baker.
Not gonna fly.
Dusty what Bottoms.
Was Dusty Bottoms, and I like it.
Yeah.
You know, one of our favorite clips is when you showed up in the, you know, whatever that was, the poncho.
Yeah, the poncho.
With the shoulder injury.
Were you wearing a hat that day? I think you were wearing a hat.
Oh, he was. Was he wearing a hat,
I think
too?
Guys before, I have no idea why it turned into a circus like that. I had just had shoulder surgery, and that is the only thing that I could fit around my body.
No, you were
like, I had to cover myself and wrap it, and I 2 days off after surgery. And the show started with you guys laughing your asses off, ripping me. I'm like, what is – am I missing something here? I'm just trying to gut it out and do the show.
It would have been worse had we not had to tape a segment 15 minutes before. Do you remember we tried to get through that segment and we couldn't put it together?
We were doing, I think, Pinties. Were we not?
We were doing a Pinties. Yeah,
I think we were recording
like
Pinties.
That,
and you're right, Noodles, because if we just came up clean –
live.
4 o'clock, live. I hadn't seen you, nothing, and you showed up in that garb.
We couldn't have. We wouldn't have made it through the segment.
No way. I would have not have been breathing properly for at least a half an hour.
I will fully admit, Hayes, you took heat because we started the show with the song La Bamba. I actually reached out to Balls and was like, you need to start the show.
I need you in a sombrero with the poncho again. We need it. We need that type of energy on this show.
Exactly. The Three Amigos. That's how we should
be
rebranded.
Right. Hey, listen, we've all been through it. Like, yes. When I had my knee surgery and I came in the knee brace, you guys were like, what the hell is this guy doing? Remember when Noodles was having back surgery and in between breaks he'd lay on the desk?
Yeah.
How awkward
outrageous.
That was for everyone else?
Yeah. Dude, like, you had to take a cab to work for a month, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah, for a month. I couldn't drive. It was my right knee.
That's right. You would roll up outside a cab. You'd
jump
out of the dump.
There were sometimes you'd be like, yeah, my cab's not here. I'm just like, this sucks.
So miserable. Like, and I remember the first time I Ubered, a guy showed, because I didn't ask for a truck or anything. I just was, you know, like, give me an Uber. This guy shows up in like a Fiat or whatever they're called. And I'm like, I can't get in that. I can't. There's no way. And he's like, no, I can get you in there. It was like a game of Tetris. This guy's trying to get my leg over his seat. He's moving his seats around. And I was laying like sideways in this guy's car down the 401 trying to get to the studio. That's when I wish we were working from home. You know, that would have been a lot easier for me to work from home when I had the bum knee. That's for sure. But
so I've got coming up in November, I'm having a little day procedure.
Uh-oh.
You know, when you turn 50, what do you get, right? Like you get the
bag of peas.
Okay.
Bag of peas.
Well, no. The bag of peas is already. That was a while ago.
I know what you're talking about.
A procedure from the
very important one.
The backside, yes.
Very, very important one that we all support.
And
yes. Everyone needs to get it done.
I'm getting it done really early so I can be on the show at 4 o'clock, right? So I'm going to be concerned that I'll be sitting on a donut or maybe laying, you know, like laying sideways or something like that. We'll see how it goes.
You got to do what you got to do. You're a battler, and, you battled through. And
exactly.
So you can say a lot about this show. We're incompetent. We're ignorant. We're stupid. We get a lot of things wrong, but we can battle with the best of them. Right?
Exactly.
Unless we need a personal day, then that's a different story. But everyone needs one of those from time to time. Craig Button will join us here in just a moment. Al's brother and the filter after dark. Is Craig coming up here at 6:05? Yeah, I should probably know that before we come in. I wasn't sure if Craig was on at 6:05 or 6:25, but here he is, our main man, our TSN resident scout, longtime GM, our good buddy Craig Button, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Oh, doing well. We're doing well. We're analyzing what's going on in the country, and obviously in Montreal, not going so well. They start 0-4. They got smoked last night. What do you make of Marc Bergevin deciding maybe I should speak with the media today? What does that tell you about where his head is at and what the Habs are dealing with these days?
So, I mean, I think that there's you want to hear from your GM and, you know, try to – you know, address what the issues are. I mean, I think it's always a positive thing when a GM speaks. In fact, I don't think GMs speak enough. You know, I mean, the public pays, you know, big money to watch their teams play and to support their teams. And I don't think the GMs speak enough. I'm not suggesting they should speak every day, but I think they should speak a hell of a lot more. And they should certainly be speaking when you're in the ditch. The fans want reassurances from your GM and your leaders. Like, do you think a general goes to war and doesn't speak to the public? It's a joke. That's what it is.
No, it's a great point, Craig. You know what? It reminds me of when Burke was here, when Brian Burke was here, and it would change. It would fluctuate at times. But Brian always said, listen, if I'm going to come out when we're winning or if we win a Stanley Cup and I'm out there talking during a parade, I better come out and talk when we suck. And the early years of Burke being here in Toronto, this team was pretty terrible. And he came out all the time. He was talking weak. He probably talked too much, quite frankly. But something's changed here in the sport where you don't really hear from GMs too often.
Yeah, let's not hear from the leaders. Like, you know, and the questions, and they shouldn't be. You should take all the questions, and you should know how to answer them and frame them. And you know what? Like, you want to sit there and you want to tell me, oh, the media is hard? That's another bunch of garbage. You know what? You get paid a lot of money. You're in the public spotlight. If the media's hard, don't take the job.
Craig, you mentioned the ditch in Montreal. How big of a ditch are we talking here? It doesn't look good. I don't want to get too crazy after four games, but I called it the cloud of just negativity where nothing's going right. Like, no systems work. Special teams is all garbage. Individually, no one's going. It's the perfect storm of negativity, and in my estimation, it's a pretty big ditch.
Yeah, I think it's a real big ditch. In fact, Jeff, I don't think they may. They might not win another game this season.
I like it. Put that one on Instagram.
I'm not going down that path again, I'll tell you what. Hey, Jeff, you nailed it. Okay, so they can't score. They can't defend. I think the only bright spot in their team has been Jake Allen. Like in two games, he's been really good where he gave up two. Last night, he was left out to dry. Other than that, I can't find one positive in any area of their game. Power play, penalty killing. You remember last year when Dominic Ducharme took over? And everybody, like Alex Burrows is new on the job. They get a power play goal or two in the first few days. Oh, geez, how brilliant is Alex Burrows? Listen, he wasn't that brilliant then, and he's not that dumb now. But it's a reminder of the people, stop singing the praises and dishing out the accolades like they're M&Ms on Halloween night. You know what? Somebody's got to prove themselves. And, you know, we're too quick, and I say we collectively, to sit down and go, oh, Ryan, what a great job after two games or after 3 weeks. You know, their power play stunk. You know, Manny Malhotra came into Toronto. Just look at their power play month to month to month to month. It went from good, it went from very good to bad to downright ugly.
All right, so what about the ditch in Winnipeg at this point, Craig? Let's go ditch diving here, coast to coast, all right? They're not in a good spot defensively. They've
ditch diving.
Been leaking oil. Connor Hellebuck doesn't look good. What kind of shovel are we talking about in Winnipeg?
Well, okay, so there's a couple things here, and I'm going to put it right on the coach and the coaching staff. The issues that have plagued the Winnipeg Jets for a number of years are rearing their head again. You know, hooking penalties, slashing penalties, sloppy defensive play. And you know what? I think this is a good team. Mike Johnson and I talked about it. We talked about a team that looks really good on paper. Well, guess what? Paper doesn't win you nothing. So at the end of the day, when you sit down and you watch, and I'm seeing the same things happen again and again and again. And either you have the wrong players, which I don't believe, or the coaches better find better solutions. Because that game last night, Neil Pionk takes a slashing penalty. You know, the slashing standard didn't just come in this year. You know, it takes a slashing penalty on the hands. That led to the fourth goal. Then the offside, you know, you're up one goal. Why is the coach trying to get Kyle Connor his cookie on a hat-trick goal? You know what? You haven't won a game. It's 5-4. The Minnesota Wild are coming, and you put them out there. Okay, that's great. Well, now the goal gets negated. And what happens? He leaves him out there. He leaves him out there. Are you kidding me? And then Neil Pionk makes another terrible play. And now it's 5-5. You know? So, again, like, you know, Paul Maurice, he's done a good job. To me, he's got to do a better job.
All right, let's go south to Chicago, Illinois. There's a ditch in Chicago right
We're
now.
We're calling this segment dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving or ditch diving.
Whatever it is. I mean, something's going on in Chicago because it's ugly down there as well. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't look good. Colleton's getting called out. You know Stan Bowman's going to take his heat. What is up in Chicago? Why is it so ugly, and why can't they get out of this?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a very good team. You know what makes good teams is good players. And when you don't have enough good players, don't be surprised that you're not a good team. And, you know, they were one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year. And, you know, they were better last night. You know, Ilya Sorokin played really well. So I don't care who you put in the net. I mean, Corey Crawford was an outstanding goalie. Robin Leonard a few years back played really well there in front of a really porous defense. And now Marc-Andre Fleury is behind a porous defense and a porous team. And, again, you know, like, you know, watching Jeremy coach, like, you know, he has a team that I would call incomplete. Like, if they get pushed into a game that they can't play in or a situation, they're in real trouble. They don't have a team that can defend. They don't have a team. If they want to go all-out offense, they're struggling defensively. If they want to go defensive, they're not good enough and they can't score. So they're a flawed team, a massively flawed team. So, you know, we can talk about Marc-Andre Fleury. Why don't we go to the next question? Who's Canada's goalie for the 2022 Olympics?
We were just saying that, Craig. We were just wondering that ourselves because 2 weeks ago it was Carey Price and Marc-Andre Fleury and then whoever's in a suit as the third guy. We'll worry about that down the road. Who knows what's going to happen with Carey? If Flowers playing like this, I mean, who knows what his stats are going to look like come Christmas time when they're picking the team. So, Noodles, you were throwing out Binnington, Kemper.
Would
Mackenzie Blackwood, but he's not vaccinated, so I don't know. Can he be included?
And he's got a foot injury right now, too. Like, they're just it hasn't been a banner start. I think Binnington would be he's battle tested and would be a solid, you know, choice. I think Holtby is a guy who's been on the radar before. There are guys. Darcy Kemper, I think, is a fantastic goaltender, although he's, you know, Colorado's had their struggles early on. You know, a lot of these teams that we do have expectations. I'm going to slide it over to a positive side here. We're going to crawl out of the ditch. Am I allowed to do that here?
Yes, we're climbing. Let's go climb. Positive climbing.
Okay, so like we all called it, Buffalo 3-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the Sabres. You knew I loved the Sabres.
Yeah. Craig, what are you seeing there? Is that just kind of a outlier and they'll come back to earth quicker than you think?
Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo.
Yes.
Hey, Bills and Sabres, Super Bowl and Stanley Cup champions after all their bad luck. Yeah. This is their year. Hey, you know what? I like the way they played. Donny Granato's a friend, and he's a longtime friend, and I really like him. And I think he was deserving of that job. And when he took over last year, it was a team in just shambles. You know, Ralph Kruger, you want to talk about a disaster? He was a disaster. And you could see that the team was not even going to respond to anything. Like, he could have come in there and thrown $1 million into the middle of the room and said, hey, guys, here's $1 million. They weren't going to buy it. They weren't buying into anything Ralph Kruger was selling. They're buying into Donny Granato. They play hard. They play together. They play with passion, and they play with purpose. And, you know, we know that this isn't going to continue. We know that they're a team that's rebuilding and trying to stock up. We know that. But at the same time, they have a committed group of players. And when you have a committed group of players, Jeff and Jamie, you know this. You know, you might have a little less talent, but when you're committed, you can have success to a certain degree. It's not going to be ultimate success. And likewise, when you have talent and you're not committed, you're not going to have success. And I'm really impressed with the way they played last year under Donnie, and I'm really impressed with what they've done in the first three games. But you know what? Hey, with all the negativity surrounding the Buffalo Sabres, it's really nice. And, you know, hopefully the fans come back, because we do know that that's a good fan base down there in Buffalo. And, you know, they needed to see some signs that, hey, this is a team we want to get behind.
Craig, you were just mentioning about Freddy Krueger going in there and nobody buying into what he was saying. What is the one key element? And Donny Granato, he said he's a friend of yours. I like Donny, what he does back there. But he's not a well-known guy. I'm sure some of the players didn't really know a ton about him. What is the key when a coach walks in the room, whether it be Freddy Krueger or Donny Granato, where the players, it just clicks and says, I want to buy what that guy's selling?
Well, I'm going to state the obvious first. So somebody that walks in with a winning pedigree, you know, you're going to listen. I mean, a coach might even try to express things, you go, oh, geez. But because he's won, you give him the benefit of the doubt. So that's the obvious answer. But again, Jamie and Jeff, you know, when you've played and you've played for a long period of time, I don't think players, and I think this is a real problem, get enough credit for knowing what will work and what won't work. And so when a coach comes in and starts talking about a plan, right, I believe that a plan has to incorporate two things. You know, players want to have individual success, and you're trying to get them to understand that they can have the individual success and how we can have success as a team and how it's linked. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. But, you know, the players know when you're going up against a good team and you're going, well, geez, we're gonna go head to head with our fourth line center against Connor McDavid. You're sitting in the room going, are you kidding me? Like, Jamie, you're a goaltender, and you're going, well, we're gonna play that, we're gonna pinch, and you know what team that's really good offensively? The Red Wings are coming at you. It's not gonna work. And that's the credibility factor. But the credibility factor comes into understanding that the players know. And they do know. Do they need guidance? Do they need reassurance? Do they need reminders? Yeah, they do. But they know what's a good plan, and they know what isn't a good plan.
With Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst, again, looking at the top of the standings, Buffalo's off to a really good start. Edmonton's 3-0, and Florida's 3-0. And that was a team we continued to point to. Nudos, you brought them up a lot. Like, they really had a quality season last year in the bubble within the division. And they're off to a rock star start. And, you know, this Atlantic division, it's difficult to get a read on because Tampa's dealing with their turnover. Now Kucherov's injured. You know, Boston's dealing. They're off to a bit of a slow start. Krejci's gone. Tuukka's gone. How do you see it playing out? I know it's early here, Craig, but in terms of where you see the Atlantic Division going with teams like Florida and Toronto, can Ottawa, who looks good early in the season, stay in the hunt? What do you make of this division so far?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a competitive division, I think. You haven't mentioned Detroit.
Right,
Detroit's been a hard out, right? I mean, they blow that game against Tampa Bay. So what I see is a competitive division. Outside of Montreal, which has shown that they're not competitive, the other seven teams have shown real competitiveness. And, you know, is there a perfect team out there? No. I like Florida. I like what Florida did last year. You know, I talked to Brian Engblom after the Tampa Bay-Florida series, and one of the things he said, in all his years of broadcast, he'd seen a few series that were as hard and as edgy as that series. He said, but not very many. And, you know, I think that that's the way Florida plays. Tampa Bay shows they can stand up to that. So the competitive level in this division is high. Jeremy Swayman's a really good goaltender. And, you know, they still have that number one line. It's still an outstanding right. line in Boston, and they got to find some contributions in other areas. But Ottawa's a hard out. Toronto's, you know, I mean, other than Shesterkin on Monday night, I mean, Toronto wins that
they
game by
great.
A touchdown. Yeah, right. Toronto looked really good. Like, so I think it's going to be competitive. I think you could, I definitely see a scenario where four teams come out of the Atlantic for the playoffs. You know, I keep hearing about the Metropolitan and, oh, there'll be five teams. I don't see it. I don't see five teams coming out of the Metropolitan. And so, you know, when I look at it, I definitely see four teams, and I see a real battle for that last, call it the eighth wild card spot, even the seventh one. But I see four teams that are capable of being there, and that is Florida, Tampa, Toronto, and the Boston Bruins.
With Craig Button, as for where the Leafs are at and where they're moving here, obviously Morgan Rielly in his contract year, and there's a lot of focus on these other deals that are being signed throughout the league from high-end players. Some guys that are younger than him, but, you know, Charlie McAvoy got a big deal. Darnell Nurse got a big deal. Dougie Hamilton, Seth Jones in Chicago. What do you think the Rielly camp is thinking right now as he progresses through this season and how these negotiations could work out in the end?
The Rielly camp has got whenever they phone Morgan, his ring chime is ching, 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 ching.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, he knows, oh, that's my agent calling. Listen, Morgan is a 25-minute-a-game player. He plays all situations. He skates. He's not going to fall off. To me, he's going to get a really good contract. The interesting thing for me, and we can speculate all the time we want. So if they sign, let's just say Toronto signed Morgan Rielly right today. And let's just, I'm just going to take the nine number. I don't know anything. Let's just take the nine number. And now you have that nine number. What speculation do you think is going to start? If he did that right today,
if he locked in a nine immediately, well, I guess it would have to be someone's
right
got to go, right?
Well, and so now all the speculation surrounds who's going, right?
Yes.
So if I'm Kyle Dubas, like, you got to wait till the end of the year. You got to wait till the end of the year to evaluate where your team is at and to see how far they can go and try to build on, you know, some of the regular season success that hasn't translated into postseason success, and then make your decision. Because I don't think that signing Morgan Rielly right today would help, because it just becomes an uneasy situation all surrounding the team, because everybody's looking at one another going, well, who's gone?
Right.
Who's gone?
Yeah, because the math doesn't add up. Yeah,
Greg, would they be starting with a nine? Would their camp be starting with a nine?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question, Jeff. I just don't think there is. Because look at his minutes. Look at how he plays. He kills penalties. He plays on the power play. He plays 5-on-5 against the other team's top players. I mean, Charlie McAvoy is a little bit younger, and we know that. But Charlie McAvoy, and that's the guy I use as an example, and Charlie's really good. But I see Morgan as a comparable type in terms of style. You know, they might not put up these big, gaudy offensive numbers, but they play all situations in the game. And I don't know who doesn't want a defenseman like that.
Well, and that's the one thing you bring up is there's decisions to be made, and Kyle will probably kick the can down the road based on their success with this group. The other one that probably won't get as much fanfare is Jack Campbell, who's a pending unrestricted free agent. you know, statistically, he's played extremely well. Not statistically, he has played very well in a Leaf uniform. He hasn't even played 100 games in the league yet. So it's you've got Mrazek for another 2 years at just
3.8, I believe.
3.8.
That's going to get some noise, though, down the road, Noodles, if he keeps
playing. But that's my
well.
Point is, you know, if Jack Campbell pushes through as a 50-plus starter, it's easily something with a 5 in it. Like that. So now all of a sudden you're going, you're going to have to spend that money in net, and then you got Morgan Riley pending. Like, I think these are big decisions, but you want them to be positive decisions based on success, and that's what you're hoping to translate regular season success and go, yeah. But Craig, I guess my question is, do you see any of them getting to a point where you can extend them right now, or do you just have to let this all play out and then pay the piper at the end of it?
I think you use the term kick the can down the road. I think that that's what you do. And for the reasons you just pointed out, Jamie, you know,
right.
Like what kind of success, it gives you more certainty. And it gives you more certainty too. I mean, when the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, at the end of the last year, they just said, well, we're not signing Goodrow. We're not signing Coleman. You know, we're going to have to let Gord go. Here's the guys that are available. And they obviously they'd won 2 Stanley Cups, but that's the decision they were left with. Now, like they might have been left with they might have looked at different areas if they didn't win or they were knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. And I think that's what Kyle and the Toronto management group has to do. They said they believe in the group, and now they want to see what the group can do. And I think that'll shape a lot of their decisions down the road. So I just don't see. I mean, you could sign Jack Campbell now again, and we've seen kind of a little bit of a carousel around the league with goaltenders the last couple of years. You know, I can't imagine that if Jack plays at the same level that he's at, that he's not going to be in demand around the league. So. You know, it becomes a quandary in the sense of you'd like to keep all your players, you'd like to get things done sooner rather than later, but I think where they're at, that they're going to have to wait. I think it's prudent to wait.
Well, we've got all season to see how it all plays out. We're early into it, but it's been a great start. It's always great having you on, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys, and stay out of the ditch.
Yes, we will. We will try our best. There, thanks, Craig. There's Craig Butner, TSN resident scout and GM. Yeah, the Campbell one is going to snowball and get bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's quietly going to percolate. That's the way I feel.
Absolutely it is.
Right?
Because look what we're talking about here. Your number one defenseman and your number one goalie. If Campbell right. continues to develop in that down that road, right? And
yep.
he has to prove it. He's had 3 starts. There's a long runway here. But if he starts 55 games as a save percentage of, 918 at the end of the year, and they've won a bunch of games and make the playoffs, and he's starting game 1 of your playoffs, or better yet, he's starting in win number 4 of the playoffs for the
right.
first time in 17 years. Good luck getting him locked in on a 3-year deal at 3.5. It's going
right.
to cost you a fortune. And Morgan Riley is going to cost you a fortune. Like, it just... It doesn't. The math doesn't work.
You're just forced to walk away, is what you're doing. Like,
or you got to unload someone else, is what you're doing.
That's
that
my point.
That might be what we're talking about here.
And here's the reason why I think it was kind of a savvy move, whether you like it or not. This was a business move by Kyle to sign Mrazek to a 3-year deal,
mm-hmm.
because he signs him to a little bit of term, decent money, and Mrazek is your mainstay. Like, okay, if Jack ends up pricing himself out of our market, well, we at least have 40-plus games covered. So we got to go and get another tandem guy. So you're thinking ahead, not thinking of just this season, but, you know, if Campbell, to your point, Brian, just prices himself out with tremendous success, then you might not be able to – you might have to throw him overboard and go, we're going to find another guy to play with Mrazek so that we can sign Morgan Riley. Like, there's a lot of different plays here. But ultimately, you know, you're playing with a little bit of fire here because it's potentially your, let's say, your number one and your number one defenseman.
Absolutely. But again, if you have no playoff success, then what has it been worth this whole time trying to
right.
work out the math?
Right.
You know, like it's a sign
That's
of
true.
The times, and it's a sign of where they're at. Like, no playoff success, yet every year dealing with cap casualties or cap issues.
Right.
Al's Brothers Filter After Dark in about 15. We're tracking the Sox in Houston game right now. Chris Sale is dialed up and dialed in, but Houston currently up 1-0. top of the fifth. So we'll come back and look at that. Dodgers Braves tonight, game four at Dodger Stadium. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. So Monday night was a big night for our boy Joe from the Bridge for a couple of different reasons. One, Austin Matthews made his season debut on Monday night, so Joe from the Bridge clearly was ecstatic about that, and I'm sure was watching the game closely and probably had his Matthews jersey on. Well, he also welcomed into this world his daughter, his lovely daughter. So shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Joe from the Bridge.
Wow.
New parents. Yeah, we're thinking of Joe from the Bridge and
congrats.
His wife, Montana, absolutely. So congratulations to them, a beautiful baby girl who will have one choice, and that will be Leafs or bust. That's it. It's Maple Leafs or bust as you
what
grow
if she
up in the Joe from the Bridge household.
What if she was like, Daddy, I kind of like the Habs or the Oilers jersey, or the, you know, Winnipeg, Ottawa's jersey.
I've gone through it, man. I brought my eldest to a hockey game right before COVID hit. I look back on it, and I'm so happy I decided to do it. It was a Saturday night, and they played the Rangers. That was the night we were talking about earlier in the week when Panarin had three assists and D'Angelo won in overtime. And ever since then, she said she's a New York Rangers fan because they were playing the Rangers. I'm like, nah, you don't understand. It's, you know. We're at the Leaf game. The Leafs are playing pretty well, and so now
she's sticking with it.
She, as of today, she's still sticking with it. We're watching the game on Monday night, and I said, "Hey, they're playing the Rangers," and she's like, "Go Rangers, go!" She's still sticking. And listen, I can't blame her at this point. The Rangers have had more success in the last 17 years than the Leafs have, but that'll change over time. She'll come around.
Yeah, she'll grow, and
she'll come around.
I think I told you my play in the basement with my son, and I had to get a bunch of different jerseys because he loved them. His go-to is Minnesota.
Minnesota. So you have to support that, though. You're an alumni. That's your
team. But did I tell you guys the story of how I got him a jersey? It was so embarrassing.
No.
So he's like, Daddy, I want a Minnesota jersey. And I think, you know, I don't know what – we were watching a game last year, and he's like, I love those jerseys. I want a Minnesota jersey because he loved green. So I called down there. And I get the number. I didn't call the PR guy. I didn't want to bother him. I know Aaron Sickman, but I just left him alone. So I call, like, you know, it's called whatever, the Wild Ranch or whatever. And I call down there, and I go, hi, weird request here. My name is Jamie McLennan. I'm a former player for the Wild.
Yeah.
And I go, I would like to get a jersey with McLennan on the back for my son. Like, he's 3, coming 4. And the guy goes, who? And I go, Jamie McLennan. I said, I used to play there, the expansion team. And I swear to God, the guy goes, you know, that name sounds familiar. He goes, let me look you up. And I said,
no, he didn't.
He Googles me, and he's like, yeah,
for
you
what?
Here.
Like to 20% discount?
I didn't
what?
Want a discount. I didn't want anything. I just wanted my name on the back of a jersey, 29 McLennan, for my son. So he's like, well, I can give you the family and player discount, like, I believe it's you. I go, let me ask you this. This is what kind of rattled me. He goes, well, I believe it's you for the discount. I go, is there anybody else calling for McLennan jerseys that you know of?
What a racket that would be.
Exactly. And I said, I'm not looking for a discount. I said, what I would like is if you could make one up and mail it to me here in Toronto. And it was like, it was an extensive process because I couldn't just go on NHL.com.
I think when you're alumni, it should be like.
Absolutely, that should be free.
No kidding.
It cost me like $220 total, like in and out the door, but it was like worth it because shipping was most of it. I'm like, can you get it here within a couple weeks type of thing? Because he's been badgering me for it the longest time.
Right.
So we got it. He wears it. He's proud, but. You know, he doesn't know better. Then it was all of a sudden he wanted Florida. And he wears his Austin Matthews one. Like, he's got lots. Like, he's fired up about it.
He's got a pick at some point. You're raising Drake over there. Come on.
Nabil at ESPN loves the retro Whaler jersey, Hurricane Whaler jersey. So he shoots me a note. He's like, I love that Whaler jersey, man. I'm like, I can hook that up. He's like, yeah? I'm like, oh, yeah. I go, I used to play for the team. I call up, I'm like, 92 O'Neal retro Whalers jersey, fire it to Nabil at ESPN. He's a star on ESPN. Here's his address. Guess what the last comment was?
Can I get your credit card?
$399.99.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. How are you two? Like, that is crazy because, like, I understand it. in terms of whoever's operating the system and taking the calls. Not their job.
Dude,
it's not,
I got to say, it's just that down the street, they're like, it's class beyond class where it's like, you need some, and I don't bother them much, but it's a couple of times I've needed some. It's not a big deal. But it's just, I was like, man, the guy's on ESPN. You can't even fire him in jersey.
Well, but it's also, it's like the owner. Like, now, I understand owners have turned over both
dude,
in Minnesota
and Carolina. Dude, he's the cheapest dude
in
the history of the league. It's ridiculous.
But like, a couple of shirts for guys who used to play? Come on.
The thing is I've always gone the other way. Like, I'm not part of the organization anymore.
And there's no problem for anybody paying for it. It's, like, not a big deal.
Exactly.
Right,
I would prefer to pay because then if you don't, then you feel that you owe them something. I would much rather just pay and move on and support the team as a fan. Like, you know what? Minnesota, they were good to me. That ownership group in that city was good to me for 1 year. I was there. But I did feel a little bit embarrassed going, yeah, I used to play for the team.
Vetting process. All right, I guess I'll believe it's you.
Yeah,
for 20% off.
That was the best part. Is he's like,
I guess it's you.
Like why would I? Like, why would I randomly choose that name? You know,
we should have Al's brother call up random organizations representing random players to see what the reaction would be. You know, like, this is Jason Strudwick calling the New York Rangers. Can you send a Strudwick jersey to Edmonton? Just see if they're like, yeah, I guess I'll believe it's you, Struddy.
Yeah,
could be anybody
tough.
At this point.
That's tough. You know, there are some phonies that would do that.
I guess I was
embarrassed, but I just wanted to get the jersey and move on, and I didn't expect anything free because you always feel like you're taking money out of their pocket, the owner's pocket, right?
But it's the owners, ultimately. Yeah, exactly. And I think the owners are doing okay. But I get it. When you're speaking with someone over the phone, it's not their job to do that. You don't want to put them in a tough spot where it's like, well, this guy's saying this or looking for that. Understandable. But listen, come on. Think about the former players. Think about the guys who built the game, built the buildings, put in the time, put in the effort. But listen, Minnesota's off to a good start. 3-0.
They're a good team. They're a good team. Like
Erickson.
There were some, there were some warts in that game last night. Period. Like it was all over. Like neither goalie could make a save last night. There was bad bounces and everything. But Minnesota, I think, is going to be a sneaky, sneaky quality team this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Yep. They had a good one last night. Again, they're off to a good start. And it's too early to tell. You know, like it's. Yeah. There are teams that are like Detroit and Buffalo are off to really good starts. It's not going to continue. And then teams on the other end of it, like Colorado's not off to a great start. I think Chicago's better than this. Chicago's 0-4. They're better than this.
Yeah. I think Montreal's better than
Montreal. And Montreal's better than, of course. They're not the worst team in the league.
Guess who's leading? I don't know. Without even looking at it, who's leading the league in points right now?
I would guess Bertuzzi in Detroit.
Kopitar.
Is Kopi – wow, man, he had a good
Well, he had a massive
year.
Opening he's, night where he had like tied, 5 points.
He's tied with McJesus.
Wow.
And they both have 8 points.
I guess McDavid would have been the obvious pick as well.
Telling you, right. McDavid's going to get 150 points. Like, it's redonk. As soon as you see – if you don't stay up, you just look at the box score and you're like, you see a 6, you're like, there's 3 automatic. Automatic. It's like amazing going combing through it, and it's like – McDavid assist, and then McDavid 1, 2, 3. It's like clockwork seeing that guy's name on that score sheet.
You know who I want to give a shout out to? He's a local kid, but he's with the Oilers now. Is Fogle?
Yeah,
that kid's a really good player.
Yep.
Like that's a sneaky little move by them that adds. Like the one thing that Edmonton was missing was hardened depth. Like tough to play against, go and chip in offensively, and like that Fogle and that Derek Ryan, and now Cassian's on that third line. They pushed him down. Like
Hyman
played. I thought he had a rough game last night, but a rough game to him is just not finding the back of the net. He had a wide open tap in and he missed it.
Right.
But like still hard work, still you know a pain in the ass to play against. Like that. That's the one thing they're trying to do. To be a deeper team is to play be hard to play against. And that Fogle and Hyman are big parts of it.
Yep.
Big part of it.
Drysdale had 4 points last night.
Yeah, he was.
He's had seven in his last two. Like him and McDavid are going to they're gonna lead the league in points.
Yeah.
Like again, McDavid will win it, and Drysdale will be second. That might be the better question is who can stay within maybe 10 points of Drysdale, but certainly 5 points. Like if Kucherov's injured for an extended period of time, he's out.
Right.
McKinnon is a guy that I think will have that opportunity. Matthews, but he's not. Matthews has not hit 100 points, and he's missed a few games, and you know, like now he's
Matthews
gone
four
is a goal
scoring machine,
and
he's a goal scoring machine, but he's not a point producing machine.
Yeah, he's not
Marner's
a guy that,
more like that.
Marner's more of a guy that you expect to have a 4-point nights and stuff like that. Matthews doesn't do it a ton, or doesn't seem to. I think he's more than capable
Kane,
of doing it.
Kane in Chicago, like, you know, Panarin, Pasta in Boston, Marchand, you know, guys like that are always hovering around the 100-point mark. I think there'll be a lot. Florida, we always forget about Huberto and Barkov, man.
Yeah.
Those guys are good.
They'll have
Florida
90 plus.
Team's good, man. They're damn good. They're going to be dangerous.
They are. And they're, you know what they are? They're tough, too, man.
Yeah,
they're a throwback
team.
They're
a nasty bunch of bastards.
They're like the Leafs. Yeah. The Leafs are going to have to prove that they can run with them. Not like offensively, the Leafs can keep up with anyone in the league. Like if they're on, they're dancing, they can score, they'll be fine. But they, like Florida, they've got some guys on that team that are more than happy to play tough, more than happy to play a little bit dirty at times or draw you into a fight, draw you into a scrum. Like, they got a little bit of bite down there in Florida.
Agreed.
So,
like, you know, that Sam Bennett coming in, and like they all got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Like, the hardest part, though, Florida could blow the doors off everyone. You get into the playoffs and you end up against Tampa.
You know,
like, that's the scary part.
Yep.
Because they're never going away. They're just never going away.
Not right now. Not at this point with these guys.
No, for sure. All right, we'll come back and get to the filter after dark. Al's brother waiting patiently. And Raptors home opener tonight. You can see it on TSN. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
No filter? Interesting. Surprised you don't have a filter.
All right, here we go. Al's brother's filter after dark, which means we have time for one more
horny filter
after dark.
After dark.
With Al's brother. What do you have for us here, Al's brother?
Well, last night the Dodgers pulled out the victory, came back, won that game. I think it was enough to give the momentum to run the table and win this thing in six.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. You have them winning three straight.
I do.
No, that's false.
Yeah. End it. I'm going to say end it partially from bias because I'm on the Braves now, even though I got bullied into that and I didn't really want to do it. But that's fine. I'm on the Braves. I'm concerned about the Braves
pitching.
Happened
to you a couple times this week, didn't it?
Yeah.
Bullied into taking some picks you didn't really want.
Yeah. It's weak. It's my own fault. I mean, it's stupid. Listen, the Braves were up 2-0, and they had a chance last night. I think their bats will stay alive. I don't think the Dodgers are going to run off three in a row here. I could see them winning in seven. Absolutely, I could see that. But I'll say end it.
I am going to have to say send it.
Oh.
Send it, send it. You've got a monster team out there in L.A., and they just seem to need a little bit of a pause from that San Fran series. I think they emotionally took a lot out of them. And now you're going to see them start rocking. It's all over.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the pitching with Atlanta too. Their starter's injured tonight, so they're going with a Jesse Chavez to start. And that
he's got a routine. He's got a routine to pitch, doesn't he?
Oh yeah.
Is he the one that does the double back and forth sway with the tight pony?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Tight pony.
Noticed the pony.
One of the pitchers. That's completely the wrong team.
I don't think it's Chavez. Yeah, I don't believe
there is a pitcher with the Astros with a tight pony who does a three-step dance before he throws to the plate.
Well, really?
It's that voodoo, man. If it works, it works. Another one of that.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to end it. You're going to send it, Noodles. You have a chance to break the tie one way or the other.
I'm going to end it. I'm not seeing it in six. This is going seven.
I think it's
a coin
seven.
Flip. Yeah. End it. End it.
Okay. I personally would prefer the Braves to end this a little bit quicker than that, but we'll see. It's been good ball games, and I'm curious how long these games are going to go today and tonight. Like, these games are – like, the Houston-Boston game began at 5, right? So we're looking at 2 hours here. They're in the top of the sixth.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a 3.5-hour game minimum. The ball game tonight's probably going later than that. It starts at 8:08 first pitch.
That's midnight all
day
long.
Past midnight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how long these games are. It's been like this forever. Nothing changes. But also, we got the Raptors in action tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing the debut of Scotty Scotty Barnes. He's in the starting lineup tonight. Goran Dragic in the lineup tonight, starting lineup, and Chris Boucher will play. So the Raptors are coming up on TSN. Enjoy the season opener. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all the games. We're back tomorrow at...
Keep it out of the ditch, fellas. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.